I titled it, It Will Get Stronger With Use or It Grows With Use. Now, I want to talk a little bit about making resolutions. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? You're very smart because you fail every time, right? So they surveyed 2,000 people and the top five, these are the top five things that people said that they use as resolutions. Number five was to learn a new skill or a hobby. They want to pick up something for that year. Number four is to save more and spend less. Anyone try that one? The third one is to lose weight. The second one is to exercise more. And then the first one is to eat healthier. And so you see those first three are really tied together, to lose weight, to exercise more, and to diet or eat healthier. Those are the New Year's resolutions, the top ones for this country. Now, they did a study and they said less than 25% actually even start the resolution. Less than 25%. And they said it's even worse, only 8% achieve that resolution. So 2,000 people, let's say, try to work on a resolution, and I'm sure their hearts are right. They want to make some changes in life, and for some reason we think the new year is the time to launch into those sort of things, but only 8% of the people are able to achieve those things. They said in January is the highest month statistically of exercise equipment sales, because everyone's going to get in there. We're going to change our life. We're going to do these things differently. New gym membership starts high in January but drops off a few weeks later. You realize it's exercise, it might be work. And so in most homes you find something like this. Now I had to Google this to figure out what it was. I've heard of them. It's an exercise machine. Anyone have one at home? All right, now this is probably what yours looks like at home, because this is what ours looks like at home. It's so nice, you gotta get the ones with the bigger handles. This one has small handles, so I wouldn't have bought this one, because it's just, I mean, that's kind of what ours looks like at home, and it's for sale if anyone wants it. Barely used. That's an honest statement. But this is kind of what you find, isn't it? It works great for that. But this whole idea about exercising is interesting because apparently you sit on this thing. Now, if this was mine, I would want a TV tray here or a basket with candy there, because then I would say, you know what, I can be sitting here and just chowing down and I'm losing weight. How many people you hear of, they say, I'm going to put this in front of the TV. I got to rest. I'm going to put this in front of the TV because then while I watch TV, I can exercise. Or I'm going to put, you know, Bible on 8-track if you're really old, or cassettes if you're not so old, or, you know, CDs if you're really young. And you say, I'm just going to sit here and just exercise. It's going to be so easy. I mean, I'm just doing what I want to do, but I'm exercising at the same time. Now, you could turn this knob and tighten it, but I'm not going to do that. All right? Now, I share this with you because people have good intentions. We spend lots of money. Some people spend thousands of dollars on these sort of things. But the problem is that we can't lose weight. We can't get exercise. We can't get in shape unless we choose to do it, right? We can have good intentions. Well, I've got good intentions to lose weight. I've got good intentions to exercise more. I've got all these good intentions. I plan to do it. I want to do it. But if we never do it, it never happens. Here's an example. You could say, I intend to lose weight, if it's my aim to lose weight or it's my plan to lose weight. But here's an example. Let's say your electric power gets shut off. And so you call the company and they say, well, you haven't paid your bill. And you say, well, I intended to pay my bill. I really did. My aim was to pay that bill. It was my plan to pay that bill. Let me just tell you, you better gather sticks to make a fire outside for your hot dogs, and you better buy some candles, because that's not going to cut it. It doesn't cut it. Good intentions doesn't get us anywhere. They're good, and they're good intentions, but if we don't follow through, nothing happens. Now, this exercise bike, of course, the best thing that becomes is kind of a closet. You can hang things on. You could drape stuff over. How many pair of pants could I drape over this? Quite a few, couldn't I? I could get a lot done. And so we realize that just because we have the ability, just because we have all that we need, if we don't do it, nothing happens. And I believe that's the same in our spiritual walk. If we know we have Christ, we know that we have all the strength that we need, that we can, you know, combat temptation and all these different things, but if we don't plug into him, if we don't use him, we don't gain in strength in our faith. We don't gain in strength about the ability to live a life that he would want us to live. If we just have good intentions to walk with God, God's going to say that's not good enough. And so we gather today, and I pray that as we gather today, there's an intention to do more with God. There's intention to worship God. There's intention to learn from him. But once you leave this building is where it really takes hold. Do we do anything about it once we're outside these walls? Or do we just hear the pastor speak and we say, that was not a very good sermon, or that was a great sermon, or that wasn't Tim's sermon, whatever it might be, whatever you might say, are we doing anything once we leave these walls? Because if you have the intention or the plan, if you don't follow through, nothing's going to happen. And too many people are coming to church living very defeated lives because they never take it outside these walls. Man, I tell you what, here we got coffee and we got donuts and we got worship music and now we have a sermon and, you know, we gather together and we shake hands. That's fantastic. But if we don't plug Christ into all this and then take him with us when we go home, make sure you got room in your car to put him in your car on the way home. Outside of here is where we really live life. This is a sanctuary, a place to come and gather to give him praise and glory and to receive from him, but it's outside these walls where it really makes a difference in our lives. The choices we make or the choices we don't make and all these different things. And so we come to realize that it can be a battle, but if we don't fight the battle, nothing's going to happen. Now, Daniel, I love Daniel because in Daniel 1:8, he says this. He says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He says, by golly, I'm going to do this. I'm not changing. I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to switch. I purpose in my heart to get this done. It's more than a good intention. He says, I'm going to do this thing. And because he says, I'm going to do this thing, when he does that, we get to read about the victory that comes with that. And so we find out that he purposed in his heart. I just pray that we could purpose in our heart more to do things. Because oftentimes, that's the struggle that we have. How many, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have sought to do more for God, sought to live more for God, sought to live more as Christ would want us to live, yet you find yourself kind of like this exercise bike. We're just not exercising our faith. We're just not really giving the effort to gain all that he has. We read about it, or we hear someone give a testimony about how God came in their lives and changed them in a mighty way. We say, man, I wish that could be me. That's what I want in my life. Well, guess what? They did something about it to get it. The pro golfers, the people in the Olympics, just don't happen to show up on the day of the Olympics and say, I want to run. I want to run. That's like me showing up. I want to run. No, I don't. I'm lying in church. That's a bad thing. I don't like to run. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What he's talking about is when they were taken captive and taken to Babylon, I mean, they've been taken out of their home. They're now sitting in this new country. And now the king says, I want you to eat the delicacies that I have, the wine that I drink, the prime rib that I have. Oh, man, candy and all these sort of things. I'm eating the king's delicacies, as you can see. Because they wanted to eat vegetables. They want to eat vegetables and water. No, no, don't clap your hands to that. They wanted to eat vegetables. They wanted to follow God. They want to honor God. And so they purposed in their heart. Daniel says, I'm not going to change my appetite for you, even though I'm under a new king, even though I'm held captive here, I'm not changing who I am in God. That's where we got to get to, my friends. We have to purpose in our heart that no matter what society throws at us, no matter how dark it might get, no matter the conflicts that we run into, that we don't change ourselves. We stay purposed in God and his plan for us. That we don't waver, that we don't shake, that we aren't rocked to and fro because of the winds. I share this with you because how many of you think society is getting darker? How many of you think society is coming against Christians like never before in this country? Oh, other countries, they've been beheading them for years, burning them and all these different things. But we're starting to see the political arena that's starting to take offense against us. So if we aren't strong enough, it's very easy to say, you know what, I think I'm just going to step back. Being a Christian is not cool anymore. I think I'm going to step on back. We can't do that. We have to purpose in our heart. And the only way we gain our strength to be able to handle those sort of things is to walk with God today when we can very easily, so that in the triumph we'll have at the end with Christ. Through the tough times, through the difficult times. We've got to exercise our faith. We have to practice our faith. We can't just wait all of a sudden one day and say, I'm not going to be strong. We need to be strong as we walk with it. He purposed to not lose faith. Now, Daniel 3:16 and 7, we've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some guy, we'll call them the guys, the boys that were there with him. And they, remember, they weren't going to go and bow down to any false image, and they were going to be thrown into that fiery furnace. I mean, really, how many of us, let's just be honest, how many of us have faced death because of our faith? where someone says, I'm going to throw you in a fire unless you rebuke Christ. We don't even have that, and yet we struggle, if we're honest. We struggle to really walk with God because, oh, the game's on, or, oh, because it's summer and I'm so busy. All these different things pull at us. All these different things. These guys are facing death, but because they've exercised their faith and seen God work through the miracles of providing them with the vegetables, anyway, they ate, and you know what? They were able to be shown favor that they could continue to eat their diet. So God was showing himself worthy during a difficult time in their life, and so they began to show their faith worthy of God. Daniel 3:16 and 17 says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, meaning we're going to be thrown into the fire and die, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. That's a pretty strong statement for someone that's just about ready to pitch you into fire. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Hey, throw us in there. God can save us if he so chooses to do that. But then he goes on. That takes faith. I mean, that's a predicament. That's a predicament. How many of us have been in a kind of predicament that we either have to surrender ourselves to something else, or we surrender ourselves to God and we stay there? Man, we got to exercise. We got to exercise. If you like to hunt, most people practice shooting before they go deer hunting, let's say. So they're better at it. They're better equipped. They've exercised their skills so that when they go out to do what they want to do, that they do it well. I will confess that I like deer hunting, but usually Friday night about 11, I say to Sandy, where's my rifle? I can't find it. Where are the shells? I can't find it. I'm not exercising it, and it shows in my performance as hunting. We let hot dogs and beef. But these boys are not done. They just said, you know what? You're going to throw us into a fire. Go for it. But now they say this in verse 18. But if not. They're saying, God, but if you choose not to, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You can't say that unless you've got strong faith. There is no way you can face that fiery furnace and stand that strong to say, God will either save me or God will not, but it's his choice, but no matter what, I'm not going to bow down to what you have. Man, society is trying to get us to bow down. Society is starting to say that all these sins that we love so much, all this fleshly sins we love so much, is now okay. And you know what? Because it's okay in my life, I'm going to force it on your life. We're going to make laws to force it on your life. My friends, we're going to have to choose if we abide by that. We're going to have to say, you know what, I guess the society's doing it. I guess it is okay, so we're going to surrender that. And I'm sorry to say, and if you're listening online in a church that has now succumbed to society, run. Go to a church that stands on truth, that does not change. Exercise faith. Exercise truth. People are rewriting the Bible, but he says not to do that. And so now we're going to go to realizing that God will either protect us. I always say this if I pull over to help someone. God, protect me or collect me. Right? Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. It takes faith to be able to say that. I mean, to think about that. Hey, if I'm here, Lord, I will serve you. That takes faith. And then, but you know what? If I'm going to die, then I'm still with you. I still win. Go ahead, throw me in the fire. I still win. It's easy to say right now today, isn't it? But my friends, we're being attacked very slowly but steady. Tim has talked about how to cook a frog. You can't just throw them in the fire, they jump out. But you put them in cold water and turn up the heat, and as it heats up, they don't jump out, they cook. Too many of us are just kind of going along, not exercising our faith, hoping that the pastor tells us what we need to hear, and somehow my words that I'm sharing that the Holy Spirit gave to me is all you need to deal with the weak. It's education. It strengthens us both, but then we need to go into our homes and begin to study or begin to find even more about Christ so that we can stand apart when we're not sitting here together. That's the most difficult time to do it, that's for sure. So Daniel 6:16 is interesting because now we've got the king and Daniel, and they're going to be dealing with Daniel because he will not succumb to the big gold statue and whatnot. And the king likes Daniel, but because the guys set him up, he's now going to also be killed unless he changes his ways. But the king says this to Daniel right before he puts him in the lion's den. He says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, meaning faithfully, he will deliver you. Here's the guy that has got to kill Daniel, and he says, hey, I know that you're going to be fine when I put you down the den. And we know that he believes it so much because he puts the cap on it, he puts the rock over the den, and then he seals it besides. It says that he fasts during the night, and he's pacing around during the night. He doesn't sleep during the night, and he's the first one to run out to say, you're all right, aren't you, Daniel? See, when we practice our faith, we can improve faith in other people. Some of the songs that they were singing today talked about, now the last one, now go out and share this treasure that you have. That's practicing our faith. That's practicing our faith. Do you realize this might be a secret? This might be something new to you, like this machine here was? There are people that aren't saved outside these walls. There are people that might not be saved inside these walls. But Christ has given us the proclamation to go out and to share the good news that we have, to share our faith. And as we share our faith, we build up our faith. We grow in our faith. Here the king now is in love with Daniel's and Daniel's God, and because the people trapped him and got him in trouble, he threw them into the lion's den, and the lions had quite a feast, according to the Bible. So how we live our lives in faith can speak to people that don't have the faith, but need the faith, need the hope in Christ. How many of us were in that dark spot, didn't know Jesus Christ, and somebody came along and told us about him, and all of a sudden we said, that's what's been missing in my life. Not this exercise machine, although I'm glad it's missing in my life, but Christ is missing in my life. That hole in my heart shaped just like Jesus that only he can fill. I always think of those kids' toys. Remember the star and the circle and the square? And you watch these little kids try to put the star and the circle and whatnot. There's only one thing that fills our heart truthfully, fulfills us, gives us contentment, Paul talks about, and that's Jesus Christ. But we have to walk in our faith and believe in him and allow him to work through us in that faith. That's when we get to experience all the faith that he has. In Mark chapter 5, there's a woman that has bleeding issues, the Bible says, 12 years. 12 years, and she's been going to all the doctors and been trying to get mended and, you know, doctoring for this and trying to get it solved, and nothing's taking place. But then she hears about Jesus, it says. This is a woman who hears about Jesus. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. That's faith. How many of us could say that? How many of us can say, you know what, if I can only do this with Christ, if I can only draw near to him, I know that I'll feel better. I know that things will get better. I know that this problem that I have or this grieving over a lost loved one will change because I can draw near to Christ. But you know what? She had to reach out to do it. She had to go through the crowd, come behind Jesus, and actually physically reach out to touch him. How many of us reach out for Christ? That's the challenge. How many of us practice by moving towards Christ, by walking towards Christ to receive all that he has for us? You know what? The Holy Spirit wants to share this today. I know, because we can be so much more victorious in our lives. Now, some of you come walking in these doors smiling like crazy. I don't know if it's because there's rolls over there or what it might be, but some of you come in just bubbling with Christ. But then there are many that seem to drudge in, that life is a drudgery. Guess what tomorrow is? Monday. Got to go to work. And I'll start thinking about that Sunday morning about 10. In fact, during the sermon, because I'm off on La La Land somewhere, I got to work tomorrow again. Oh, I hate Mondays. But oh, do I love Fridays. Oh, Fridays are wonderful. See, we're living off the emotion based on the experiences that were taking place. If I've got Monday facing me, I'm going to be down because I've got to go to work again, even though it provides the funds I need and, you know, feeds me and all these different things. But Friday, I get to begin to go and celebrate and do my own life. Now, I get to do my own life, so I'm up on Friday. Christ says, let's be up in every day. Let's be lifted up. Find joy in trials. Oh, my gosh, we talk about that. Tim's talked about that. What a struggle that sounds like. But you know what? With Christ, if to live is Christ, to die is Cain, it says no matter what's taking place, I can be up in Christ. But if my faith tank is full, if my gauge shows it's up, that's the struggle that we have. If we live minimally with God, you'll see minimal in your life. You won't have the victories that you want. You won't be uplifted like you desire. You'll look at those people with smiley faces and go, almost jealous that they've got this thing. No, it's unspeakable faith. Oh, yeah. So for 12 years, she had this looking to man, and she goes to God, and guess what? Then there's, of course, the story about the paralyzed man who four friends took him to a home to be healed. Couldn't find a way in. It was packed. But because of their faith, they got up on the roof somehow, cut a hole in it, and lowered that man down. Because of their faith, he was healed. Surround yourself with those kind of people. I mean, would you want to lift me up the wall onto the roof? Yet, that's what took place. And if you'll surround yourself with people like that on those days when you're kind of on the edge, when you're feeling like your faith isn't really where it needs to be, or is God really hearing who I am, they can come alongside you and lift you up in prayer, lift you up in love, remind you of all the things that have taken place. Because when we get so focused on the problem, we can't see all the blessings that we've had. Last week, I think, I forgot to turn in the tithe check. Sorry, Corey, it's in there tonight, or today. But when you give a tithe check, sometimes some people go, oh, man, I could really use that for something else. But then I had rented a machine at Swanson's, and I had kept it longer than I should, so I owed them maybe $50, $75 for that extra days. And I went in and said, well, I didn't use it this day, so I used it that day, and it was late in the day, so I didn't bring it in. And they said, you know what? That's fine, Brian. Don't worry about it. Now, I can say, boy, I was lucky, but I truly believe I was blessed. See, when you start to look at everything and see the blessing in it, before long, you can build your faith because you see how God's in your life all day long. You find a great parking spot at Walmart, like near the door, it may be God. You go into the checkout and the lady says, I'm not going to use all my pennies to pay or my coupons. I just want to get through here fast. And you go, thank you, Lord, because you're right behind her. Because you've been on the other end, right? Well, I got some pennies here somewhere in my purse, you know, and here's the sink. Here's the, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Why? Why am I being persecuted? In Galatians 5, it speaks about fruits of the Spirit. The last one is self-control. I think it's there for a reason, because I think you've got to walk through and gain maturity to finally gain self-control. Why self-control? Because self-control affects our walk with faith. Because if I'm walking in God, I'm walking in his you know, plan for me, his steps for me, so I'm showing that I have faith in him. I'm surrendering who I am, and I'm giving it to him and say, you lead for a while. You lead for the rest of my life. But it takes self-control to do that, to surrender ourselves, to surrender things you don't want to surrender, to give up things you don't want to give up for nothing. But you know that you need to be walking in that pure faith that he has, that he wants us to walk in, so that we can be all that he wants us to be. I mean, most of us want to be all that we can be. That's the army used to say that all the time, be all you can be. Could you imagine if we were all that we could be for Christ, what could take place in this world? Now, that movie came out about abortion and whatnot, and a lot of churches got on board with that, and a lot of people got excited about helping health resources in different places. I truly believe that's part of the change that we're seeing, that we woke up, that we walked in faith and said, that is wrong, and we will stand up and say it's wrong, even though as I speak this, someone online might be saying, how dare you speak that? But it's truth. So I will walk in faith and speak that truth no matter what comes. Because there's going to come a day when that's hate crime. It's going to come a day when you're going to visit, Scott will come and visit me in jail. I hope you come and visit me in jail, Scott. All right. Again, my friends, self-control means not just good intentions. Good intentions isn't enough. The plan I have isn't enough. I wish I could. Shoulda, woulda, couldas. Yeah, buts. Oh, yeah, I was going to do that, but. I always say Satan likes big buts and he cannot lie. There's a song like that somehow. Oh yeah, but. Oh, I'm going to get serious about Christ, but. I'm going to walk in faith more, Brian, but. The only buts is us if we don't. There's only one other individual in this world, in this realm, that wants us to not walk with God, not to grow our faith in God. That, of course, is the enemy. So when we find ourselves living our lives and making choices, well, I hate to even say this, for myself and for everyone else, we have to decide if we're going to be walking with God or walking with the evil one at that moment. What would Jesus do? You know that banner? Well, what would the evil one do? We can look at it the other way. So if you're sitting somewhere watching something you shouldn't be watching, if Jesus doesn't say, get some popcorn, let me pull over, let me sit next to you and watch this movie, man, turn the channel. Get rid of it. In the men's group, they were talking about how, you know, pornography and all these different things and these spam things come on your computer trying to lull you into this and lull you into that. A couple people said they've changed their numbers. They've changed their email addresses. They've changed their numbers they've had for years. What a pain. What a pain to have to change your number. They saw it worthy and worthwhile to do so to prevent themselves from falling into something. That's walking in faith. Gee, I'll change my number like it's going to kill me. I've got 822 contacts I got to change. Hey, it's better to change it and not be falling into temptation. Ain't it? See, I can say ain't because I'm a Cowboy Church guy. Ain't it? But are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do what it takes to better our lives in Christ so that we can practice that faith he has for us? The more we use it, my friends, the stronger we get in it. Think about this. Okay, the first time you ride with someone that's learning how to drive, you got a lot of faith in their abilities? You kind of like tense and you're on guard and you've got your foot about ready to get over to the brake and or your hands are stuck in the dash, dug in, like you got to pull them out because you don't have the faith. We don't know if they can do it. But after a while, they get their license and after a while they drive as horrible as we are and we have all the faith in the world. You jump in and say, let's go. Oh, don't worry, stop signs don't mean really stop if there's no one coming. Come on, that's just for the book. That's just for the test. We practice faith all the time, my friends. If you don't think so, we practice faith all the time. I mean, go hit the light switch. How many of you, every time you go to hit a light switch at home, go, oh, I hope it works, I hope it works, I hope it works. We have faith that it's going to work. And it's not even faith in the electric company. It's not even faith in the power plant. We got to take our faith all the way over to a guy named Jim Smith who gets up that morning and goes and gets in a payloader and puts it in the truck to go to get to the train, to get to the power station. It goes all the way back. We trust every one of them, people. We have faith that they will do their jobs so that we can have power. We use it all the time. We get in airplanes and fly across the world at 900 miles an hour with people we don't even know flying the plane. We have faith that they passed their test. Now, maybe 500 pilots were in that class and they were 500th in that class. They still passed. How many of you say, oh, I don't know if I should fly in this plane because I don't know the pilot? We practice faith all the time. Then it comes to Christ and we say, oh, but I can't see him. I can't touch him, so I don't know if I can believe him. Well, I didn't touch the pilot either. I don't know how a plane stays up there. It doesn't flap its wings. Birds do. But somebody figured out somewhere along the line to make that plane go up, and I believe it. I have faith in it, and I get in it, and it goes. And you get to sit in that tin can and breathe everyone's air. I hate that, right? Someone coughs too, and you just know it's getting circulated and spit right in your face with that little dial thing. You just know it. Yet we do it anyway. We do it anyway. Man. David fought a lion and a bear before he ever fought the giant. We're all going to have giants in our life. Maybe you already had quite a few of them. But when we walk in faith with the little stuff, my friends, we're able to deal with the bigger things because we've now experienced that God is faithful if we are faithful in him. He took care of this. He took care of that. He took care of this. He took care of that. Now I'm up against this huge obstacle. You know what? I am going to trust God because whatever he decides, if he decides to protect me or collect me, I'm doing what God has called me to do. I am walking in faith, and he will be faithful if I do so. Whether it's fighting a giant, I don't know how many of you got giants to fight this afternoon, or in your homes, in your relationships, at your job. We're always facing something. But are we facing it in his power, in because of our faith with him, or are we dealing it on our own? Now, I Googled, because Google knows everything, I Googled the word faith, how many times it appears in the Bible. I could have taken my concordance and looked up each one. It said there's 336 in the King James Version, but in the Good News Version, there's 521, I guess because they, good news. We're going to talk about faith more, just how they word the verse. But faith is a big deal. It's spoken of many times. So the question is how many times does the word faith appear in our life on a daily basis? Where we could say, that was a step of faith. Yep, I was faithful there. I was obedient there. Faithful, faithful, faithful. How many times could we check that off in our day or in our week or in our month or in our year? Now, it talks about faith, but it also says ye of little faith. So we might be saying, oh, I can check faith all the time, all day long. I'm faith, 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 but it's little faith. He wants us to be into the big faith with him. In Hebrews, it has the Hall of Faith. You can go through that at any time you want to and read through all these men and women that have been very faithful, and those are the biggest things that we see. I mean, building an ark, for Pete's sakes, by hand. So how many have gone to see the ark, that exact replica of the ark? I guess we're not on board that ship, are we? It's huge. It's massive. Ruby from our church has gone to it, and Lloyd, and they said when you walk in, you begin to weep. And the lady that's there volunteering or paid to be there or whatever to guide you said it happens all the time. Because you realize the faithfulness of God to provide what was needed so that we could be here today. But it was built in faith, total faith, built totally in faith. So you can go through in Hebrews and read about the Hall of Faith, but Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, but without faith it is impossible, everyone say impossible, to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we can believe in God, but Satan believes in God. Satan has faith that there is a God. He knows that. But it says if we seek him and then we're diligent about seeking him. Diligent, I looked it up. It's hardworking, rigorous, persistent. Man, how many of you want a diligent doctor when you go for surgery? Would you be happy if the surgeon treated you like we treat our faith? Oh, maybe I'll cut him open today, but maybe Thursday I'll look at him again. No, we want him to be on the spot. Do it right. Do it well. And we have faith that they will. I don't even know who this guy is, but he's going to let him cut me open and play with my heart. And we do without batting an eye most of the time. Nervous about the surgery some, but we don't necessarily question that doctor. Tell me about your college. Tell me about how you did. Can you kind of tell me your grades? Where did you graduate? What level? Were you first in your class or the last in the class? Man, we got to struggle with our faith. We struggle with it. If we're honest, we're struggling with it. If you're getting stepped on your toes a little bit today, praise the Lord, because that's just moving us in the right direction. Because apart from that, if we never talk about it, we're never going to grow. I read this. It said, faith that does not act is a faith that is just an act. I got to say it again. Faith that does not act is a faith that is just an act. Now, I believe it's the Greek word. Hypocrite is an actor. So if we sit here and we're excited about Christ and you guys are getting fed today and we sang worship songs and we strive to live with Christ, it's saying, you know what? We need to show faith in our walk with God to be able to prove that we really believe in him and that we're striving to be in that faithful moment so that we are acting in his accordance, his desire for us. So if we come here and gather and enjoy the music and enjoy a sermon and we kind of get built up, but if we leave here and don't do anything about it, then maybe it's just an act, it's saying. Maybe we're really not serious about our walk with God. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not easy all the time, is it? We fumble and we fail and we mess up and then we say we're never doing that again until we do that again. I never was an alcoholic, but I used to drink a fair amount. I was pretty proud I got to that level. And so we would go out, we worked construction. That's the toughest place to be. We were down in Iowa, and we got up at 6, and we were on the road by 7. We were putting an underground power cable. We usually worked till dark. Then we went to the bar, and they stayed open till 2, and we ate a pizza there, or we just sat there and drank. Then we went home and had supper, and then we got up and did that every day. But when we woke up the next morning with a hangover, I would always say, I'm never doing that again till 8 o'clock tonight. So we find ourselves doing things that limit our faith, that we come up to this wall and we can't go past that. We can't seem to get closer to Christ because of the choices that we're making. Then we may have to end those choices. We've got to push through those things. We got to say, I'm not going to do that again, no matter how many times you've got to say it. How many times are we supposed to forgive people? So Christ is saying, I can forgive you many, many times. If you come with a repentant heart, every one of us has said, I'm never doing this again, and we find ourselves doing it, and we go to the Lord again, and we say, I'm never doing it again. He would rather have you saying that than saying, you know what, I'll never get it right, and go off and do that thing forever. That's the loving God that we have. He loves us more than we love ourselves, or he loves us more than our parents might love us if we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, and we keep doing it. It gets to be a struggle. We ask our kids, will you take the garbage out today? And they say, absolutely. And you come home and it stinks in the house and you're like, what is that smell? And there's the garbage with flies buzzing around and stuff. And you say, I thought you were going to take the garbage out. Oh, I will after this game. We start to lose faith, don't we, in them. I pray Christ never loses faith in us. That we're always there, that we're always striving to be all that he wants us to be. Now, Philippians 4:13 is probably one of the most powerful verses, but it's one of the most difficult sometimes to do. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I word, I think, gets in the way. I can do all things, and we seem to stop there. I can do all things. In fact, some of the churches are saying, yeah, you can, because we got such a great God. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, who strengthens me. I can have all the strength I need to fight this, or I can have all the strength I need to do this if I go through Christ and allow him to work in me. Too many of us do it on our own power. I think of Samson. We talked about Samson a few weeks ago in one of the sermons, Samson and Delilah. Samson was a Nazarite. In other words, he was given to God at birth, and his whole purpose was to help Israel get out from underneath the Philistines. And so he was given strength by God. The Spirit of God would come upon him, the Bible says. And so he had this power to be able to use this Spirit of God, this extra strength, strength that you've never imagined, to be able to try to help Israel. The problem was is that he would oftentimes use that strength to take care of his own business. He once did a riddle with some guys, and he said, if you win, I'll give you 30 garments of clothing, but if I win, you got to give me 30 garments. That sounds fine. But then they figured out the riddle, and guess what? He got mad, and he went and killed 30 people in town, took their clothes, and says, here's your clothes. And it even says then that the power of God came upon him, the Spirit of God came upon him. The thing was is he was strong in God, but he was weak in God at the same time because he was doing his own thing. He wasn't walking in faith anymore with God. He was using his giftings to bless himself. He wasn't walking in faith. He wasn't walking in strength. He was actually very weak in his mind. Isn't that where we struggle the most? In our mind? That's difficult. But then you've got Paul, who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've got Paul that just is able to do all kinds of things. But now Paul was very weak at one time because he was out slaughtering Christians. He was out destroying all that Christ was trying to do. He was weak because he was in his own mind. But once he surrendered himself, he became strong in God. You see the difference there? We can be strong in ourselves, but weak with God. Or we can be weak in ourselves and strong with God. One of them allows us to have a lot more faith than the other does. One of us, if we will practice our faith, it will grow stronger. It will grow stronger. So we need to keep those things in mind. So we had quite a talk. Went all around the world, exercised for a bit. After we say a prayer, if you guys want to come and just try one of these to see what they feel like. It's not every day you get to try one of these things out. You know, it was kind of interesting. I went to the men's group, 20 guys there. And I said, hey, guys, I need an exercise bike for a prop. Does anyone got one? Crickets. Then Barry said, you know what, I think I might have one. And I said, Barry, you would be the guy to have one because he's the best-shaped guy there. We all got shapes, but he's the best-shaped guy. But he so happened he doesn't have it anymore. So we need to exercise our faith. We need to walk with God and walk in his provision. We need to realize how much blessings that he gives us. Because if we focus on all the blessings he gives us, we realize that we can have faith in this God because he's very faithful to us. Don't just come here and listen. Don't just have good intentions when you leave here. Don't have the plan when you leave here to do more for God, to walk in his provision, to be faithful to him. Man, he says to lay down your cross and follow me. That's a pretty faithful statement. And you've got to be faith-filled to do it. Don't succumb to the world. Don't say yeah buts. Practice your faith. Build your faith. Get in the word. Get in prayer. Get in Bible studies. Gain the knowledge that gives you more knowledge so that you can have the wisdom that comes only from God to say that you are my God and I will have faith in you because you have faithfulness for me. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we talk about faith. It's not even a big word. But Lord, if we're honest, we struggle with that, I think. Worries of the world or situations, the car blows up, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden we just go from being this holy Christian, this so excited about God, to saying, what am I going to do? But Heavenly Father, in faith we can rally rather quickly, gain ourselves back, our self-control, and purpose in our heart that we're going to walk with you through this situation. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everyone that sits here today, whether you're young, old, wherever you're at with God or not with God, that you can be with God. But Heavenly Father, help us. Holy Spirit, speak as loud as you need to in our lives. Lord, I pray that none of us would have to come to a catastrophe or be beaten down to the ground before we finally acknowledge you. But Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd see more and more faith building in this congregation. Heavenly Father, you'd see more and more people stepping up in faith, walking through the week with you, trusting in you. And then, Lord, you can use us because we're walking with you. We see all the benefits. We see how you bless us. And, Lord, use us mightily to speak in other people's lives. Heavenly Father, it's all about faith in you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give each person an extra dose of faith, true faith, that we would strive to know you more. In the precious name of Jesus, everybody says, amen. God bless you guys. Have a fantastic day. Again, get in line if you would so like to try that out.